Let us in humble dependence upon the Lord again direct you to the book of Psalms, Psalm 42 and verse the 5th, the 42nd Psalm and verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the health of his countenance. There is before us, and I have no intention really of being repetitive, that is to go back over the course of our discourse this afternoon. There is before us, first of all, the definition of a certain state of soul. And that is clearly defined, concisely defined by these words, cast down and disquieted. I mean, that is the exact, shall I say, diagnosis of the spiritual state of the psalmist at that time. He was cast down and disquieted. And then, and of course, if I stop there for a moment, I would say this, that as we live in this dark world, which is really to live in a hostile world, and in a body of sin and death, and these are the days of our tribulation, the days of our tears, our sorrows. It is a veil of tears. It does really mean then that every child of God, without any exception whatsoever, will often be in this state before God. I know, not that I am very well acquainted with you as a people, I love and esteem you, and some I have known for some years now, but there is a time of love, there's a time of divine blessing and favor, and when you come into those days of divine blessing, the time of love, the time of your espousal, well, you're just lifted above, really, all the sorrows and troubles of this life in the mind. I mean, you may feel that when the Lord blesses you and you follow him in the precious and sacred ordinances of the Church of God, you may feel that you're going to walk with joy to heaven. I'm not at all critical of that. In fact, I would say to any of you that if you are now living in a time of spiritual enjoyment, well, certainly I would never do anything to disrupt it or to spoil your sweet enjoyment. But the fact remains that the main part of the journey of a child of God through this life is spent in tribulation, passing through the waters, through the fire, knowing what sorrow is and sighing and tears. Take even the word in the Revelation concerning the blessed so that a glorified he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. It shows, you see, the sort of life that a child of God must know. So, what I'm endeavouring to say briefly as we begin this evening is this, that really the life of a child of God consists very, very much in a feeling of being cast down and disquieted. I mean, if I just now enumerate a few things, and you will know this from your own experience, you know it from God's blessed word. For one thing, you've got a body of sin and death. The Bible speaks of us as corruptible. And this is a vile body. Who shall change our vile body? In the modernization of the terms used, of course, you do not hear from the Anglicans the word vile used. They use another form altogether. But it doesn't make any difference. Who shall change this vile body? I know that it means carefully defining. When you think that God is the architect of your body, you see the wonderful skill and wisdom of God in the formation of the human body, what it means is, because of the total fall, the absolute fall of man, vile body, and what corruption, what filth, what wickedness there is in the wicked heart of man. I'm not in favor, and I'm going to say this straight out. I'm never in favor of people in public prayer making a big display about their corruption. The bedroom's the place for that. There are some people that almost seem to take some glory in giving a public exhibition in their confessions of their sins and so on. It's within the four walls of your closet. That's the place, the secret place for that. But the point is, it is a vile body. Corrupt. Now, how many of you know it? My friend, do you know it? Well, the very fact of this, apart from anything else, means that you're often cast down. You see, you're very cast down. You treat yourself a child of God. Can I deem myself a child with this filth of the Adamic fall rising in me? The honest man before God. You can't mock God. When I say man, I don't only mean the male, I mean also the female. You see, the fact is we're poor. I'm well aware of the fact that there are degrees of knowledge in this. That is to say, some are very gently led and they really don't know very much about the depths of their sinful heart and nature. But you'll know it. You'll feel it because the Spirit searches Jerusalem with candles. You'll know it. You'll know what a vile sinner you are, my friend. Well, now, the very fact of this, you're often feel cast down. In fact, if I gave to you, if that was prudent, if I gave to you a glimpse of how I felt on my journey to Abingdon today, I felt that I was cast down because of my own sinlessness. Very much so. So that will cast you down. And then, this persistent, tireless, determined, obstinate accuser of the brethren and seducer of the brethren, the devil. You know what it is to be devil hunted. Now you'll be cast down often, man. With what he infuses into you, and what he suggests to you, and what he tells you, and the picture that he paints before your view, and so on. He can allure you, he can seduce you, he can attract you, and he can roar like a lion and hiss as a serpent. Now you'll often be cast down. You'll say, my soul cast down within me, Lord. And only thou can tell before us. So that what I'm endeavouring just to say is this, as we begin this evening. It really means, it really amounts to this. With a tremendous amount of your time as you journey through the wilderness. It's a wilderness. And yet even this, I ought to stop and preach it there and on. You say wilderness, beautiful creation, doesn't mean that. It means this, man and his sin and the fruit of his sin in the world, that's why it's a wilderness. It doesn't mean the beautiful creation. Yeah. Although the very creation is affected by man's sin and the curse of God's effect. I would think it's true to say there's nothing in creation that isn't affected by it. But it does mean this then. It's a wilderness. It means you'll often be cast down. What with this vile barber, this cursed foe. Now let me go on in this category now that I've made a start. Although I want to come to the specific, the remedy, the therapy if you like. What else casts you down? Well, there's disquietude, two things together. What's the disquietude? Well, really, the meaning of the term disquietude is this. A lot of conflicting influences or forces or voices within you. You know, speaking to cross surfaces. All types of voices, I quite expect. And I don't know that you ever think of such a thing. Probably you never think of it. But I quite expect that it's so with God's ministers. I know it is with me sometimes. When I'm going to preach, I'm a mess of confusion with him. Confusion. And you men that stand in a prayer meeting, I expect sometimes when you go, you're a mess of confusion. Now you disquiet it. And then the Lord says, peace, 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 a great power. You see, there's the voice of the devil. Discernment's a great blessing. Because the devil can roar, and he can have a very soft voice too. You want to know who it is speaking? He's puffing you up with pride. That's a good prayer, man. He gave such a soft voice you didn't know who it was at first. Another time he roars, then he hisses. There are all sorts of things the devil says. And then there's the voice, there's unbelief talking. And then there's carnal reason. And then there's the advice of men. And then there's the opposition of enemies. And then there's the voice of pride and the voice of unbelief I have mentioned, and what with all of it together, well, it's absolutely frightful. And yet, do you know one thing? Right in the middle of it, the Lord can give you to hear the voice of faith. And that is just what the speaking is. He spoke to his own soul. It was a soliloquy. He preached to his own soul, my friend. And this was living faith. He said, why art thou? He said, hope in God. This is the voice of faith. And the still small voice of Jesus at feet and the Father. So let us gather this up for a moment. It doesn't matter who it is, if they fear God. It matters not who it is. Whether they're in Britain, South America, India, any part of the world. It doesn't matter whether they're living in a bamboo hut, or a wigwam, or an ice house, or whether they're living in some place in England. It doesn't matter who it is, my dear friend. I'm saying this, that God's children live very, very much in this past, where they get cast down and they know this disquiet. But you see, what I've done is I've just endeavoured to, shall I say, show them the worst of the malady. After all, it's not any good minimising it. It's no good a man coming into that surgery with a malady and the physician knows all the time all about it and he just glosses over the surface. Let's know the malady. Let's know what it is. Let's see the worst of the thing. And then hope for the therapy. So can you understand that? It doesn't matter whether it's the king on the throne or the beggar on the dunghill, the fair, the monarch, the squire, the nobleman, no matter who it is, if they fear God, in various ways they walk in this. They cast down and they disquiet. Now I go to another point. Now look, there's no property or influence on the earth that can do anything for you apart from God. Now, if you possess the earth, but nor to this. You can go to your top men in London and pay 100 guineas. You do nothing at all with it, unless God comes. There's only one that can touch your case, my brother or sister, and that is the living God. No one else can touch it. And this is where you're going to prove it. There's only one can touch it. I know, don't misunderstand me. The Lord does and can use me. And we thank Him for that. What I mean is, apart from God and His blessedness, no one can touch this, only God. Now do you realize? So that I would like to suggest a line of thought here. This is one of the ways God has of tripping you of everything but himself and everyone but himself. And you'll know there's only this one blessed person that can do it. Jonah down in the whale's belly at the bottom of the mountains, the bottom of the sea, he said, I remember the Lord. There I was in this state, but he said, I remember the Lord. There is one that can do this. And so are you. And my prayer came in unto him, unto his holy temple. He remembered the Lord. So I have briefly referred to what it is in this life, mainly that causes this casting down. I could, of course, give some subdivision and add somewhat to this list, and I think that I will, although it will be in brevity. Now, you've got personal things that cast you down. I'm speaking to the children of God. You've got your sins. Of course, there's no getting away from one thing. I'll tell you what it is. It's a day, I may say this to you, because there are a number of young people here. It's a day when they say that the modern age, they're seeking to emancipate themselves from all the bonds and fetters of past society. That is a sort of a general thesis now. They say, now, we've been held morally in every sort of way you can think of. We've been held in bonds over the centuries. Now we're beginning an emancipation, a sort of freedom, you know, to do anything you like at all. Now that's the general concept of this age. And you'll see how that it operates on all hands. But this is a point I want to make. We must realize one thing, that there's nothing to be compared for pain and agony to the remorse of guilt. Nothing to be compared to. And that is a flagrant disregard of God's law, and God's law is a demonstration or manifestation of his character. That is what the Lord God is. Now, disregard of that, and this with law, and there's nothing on the earth that can remove it. You could go from Britain to Australia. People can go into pleasure. They can go to narcotics. They can drown as they think all this by intoxicants. They can have a round of pleasure. And underneath there's a world. And if God doesn't have mercy on that soul, it's a worm, my friends, that never dies. Now, you can't tell how dreadful that is. And that is a dreadful thing, that is. So, let me come back to this point. You may be cast down by personal things. Your sins. And I feel, just to say this to you, in a very guarded way, of course, I occasionally come in contact with a person who fears God, and they've got something that's personal, that's agonizing their spirit, distressing their mind, burning within them. And they could never tell anybody what it was. Now they're cast down. Now, it's not once a week or once a month, but occasionally you see we receive their confidence. And when we receive their confidence, we do it with the vow that this will never escape our lips. No one will ever know it, and they'll go in the grave and we shall never betray their confidence. There's something in their life that's burning within them, and that casts them down. Now, I wonder if that meets any of you. You can have something you've never told a soul, and it burns in you. Talk about a burning coal of the pit. It's like almost like that. Now there's something to cast one down. And I can tell you something more. It's a great blessing if God raises up for you one that in measure you can open your very heart and soul to. You may have something that cast you down, my friend, that no one has the slightest knowledge of. Of course, you see, cast down, disquieted. I come in contact with this constantly. Young people as well as old people. I've got a young person now, and I can say this to you because you haven't the slightest knowledge of who it can possibly be. A young lady. Beautiful young lady, really. And she's just gone to a skeleton and really looks as if she's dying. Now there's something deep underneath all that. You can go to a psychiatrist and the psychologist and all this sort of thing. That's not the answer. You see, there's something there that poor soul needs God. Something that casts you down. Well, I don't know why, and it's not for me to inquire into that. Because, God, I just like to speak as I feel led, that you've had this from me now, because I'm led into it. Now, this is one of the deepest things that I find. You can have a young man or a young woman, and they've got a sadness in their very personality. You can never get at it. And they carry it through their life, and they're cast down. Now you need God, my young friend. Your only hope is in God. And He can deliver you. Yes, He can. He can bring gladness and joy to your spirit. There's one who is able to do it. Now you can see that any sort of ministry that glosses over the top of things never touches these things. Never comes anywhere near. So, what I want to do and what I always desire to do is I want God to lead me down deep into the recesses of your heart. So, but personal things may cast you down, things that no one knows. The crucifying path you have to walk, if you're in it. I don't know if you're in it. If you're a child of God, you probably walk a crucifying path. You'll be cast down. And you may be cast down because, as the hymn writer says, though hosts of enemies rise up. Someone said to me recently, they were remarking on a pastor, a dear man, a man of God, a most blessed man. And they were speaking about the favor he received and so on. I said, well, I fully agree with you. I rejoiced in it, but I said, he's in his 7 years of plenty. And I said, if he's scared, he'll tell him the 7 years of plenty. What I really meant by that was, there'll come a time when he's in trial. So there is. You prove it, my friend. You'll know what it is to have the favour of God, but you'll also know that the day of adversity is set over against the day of prosperity. And when you come into that, you'll know what it is to feel cursed. Allow me that remark. I mean, this is a general line of proof, but it's true. Those are a personal thing. There are things that no one knows. There may be things that some think they know. But when people think they know, it's always like an iceberg. There's an eighth of it that shows above the waterline and 7/8 underneath. And they see the 1/8 above and the 7/8 underneath and they don't see it. And you're cast down very often. But not you. You'll know what it is to rejoice. The Lord will favour you, my friend, because you're in tribulation and he will bless tribulation to your soul. Whether a personal thing. And then there are family trials. I'm not on this, not you. I'm going to preface this with one word. And it's this. Always be strictly loyal to your own family. And even if you've got a trial in your family, don't tell anyone. Don't you tell anybody. If you've got a son or a daughter that's a trial to you, if you've got any trial in your family, never breathe a word to anyone about it. That is to betray them. Never. Carry it before God. Don't carry it before people. I've got no time for this. Whatever you walk, the Lord enable you to carry this with you. And not before the people. There was a dear old lady that I knew and loved, a woman of few words, widow for, I think she was a widow for 50 years. And when her husband died, he said, my dear, I've got nothing to leave. And he hadn't. He said, I commend you to the Lord, I commit you into this. But what I was coming to was this. There were two from the family, a son and a daughter. Well, the son, well, they were both, shall I say, handsome or exceedingly good looking, and the young man was a striking looking young man. Beautiful appearance. And as he grew up, he'd only got one ambition, and that was to be a film star. And he got it, you know. He's got the appearance, everything else. Most attractive. Well, the days went on, and of course, in the end, he was out half the night. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. Now that dear old lady, she never went to bed until he was in. And I don't think she ever told anybody. And she kept praying to the Lord. Never went to bed until he got in. Well, today, he's a most blessed minister of the gospel. That young man. He's no longer young, but he's a most blessed minister. Now she kept her trial to herself, and that's the thing that you do now. When you keep it yourself, what you want. I know that you may come back to me and say you were speaking about a confidant, and that's true. If you've got something burning within you, God can give you that. But what I mean is, as a general principle, keep your trials to yourself. Don't broadcast it all over the place and tell everyone what trials you've got in your family. Carry it before God as quietly as ever you can. Quietly as you can. Just keep begging, crying, and pleading, but you'll be cast down. Often you'll be cast down. And then, you see, there are those casting down in the Church of God. This is not my province. I mean, I'm standing in my brother's pulpit, so I'm not embarking on that in any way. But let's take the church generally. Not a local church, generally, I mean. Now, you'll be cast down about the Church of God, no. The various things there are that you may come in contact with. I mean, as a people, a little people, and several of you here from other places, and I would feel that generally, as far as I know of you, I would feel that you would say, well, we're in peace and love and union, and I believe it and rejoice in it. But taking the church generally, oh, how much there is that casts you down. And, dear old England, I'm putting it like that, in a simple way. Dear old England, doesn't it cast you down? And you want to go, I know it's very difficult if you've never travelled at all, but you want to go over the channel and cross the sea and to all the other countries and think of what is anticipated, and that is 2/3 of the total population of the world that will shortly be facing starvation. That is the over-analysis. An expectation. Now when you begin to think of it, over half of God's own human race facing starvation. I can tell you this, I don't know how to sit down and eat a full meal very often. I feel downright ashamed to ever think of eating a therein, not that I do eat a lot, but I'm thinking of these poor babies and children, nothing only skin and bones on the borders of the grave. Doesn't it cast you down there then? Well, I've spent a long time on this section. It seems to me that all I can pray for now is that Lord would
Tyson is coming.
I say that deliberately. I feel that I'm the
bed of the Lord, the Tyson, the devil is coming.
Well, now here's the casting down. Now, David is laughing. Now, what's this now? He says, why is this? I hope I'm not unduly detaining you if I go on for a few minutes. Hope you won't lose a bus. He said, why art thou? Now, I want to make one point. It's this. The orientation of your spirit, soul, heart, and mind is a big factor here.
Of course, there's a complete volume of sermons here, I do recognize that. But I'm just on this one thing. The orientation means which way your mind, spirit, heart, soul is turning or looking. Now, where are you looking? And I will use a simple illustration to demonstrate it. The disciples in the boat, there are several narratives like that in the Gospels that carry more or less the same type of thing. They were in the little boat. One time the Lord was with them, another time he was on the mountain and walked on the sea. But at any rate, they were in the boat. They came into a violent storm. Now, why art thou cast down, O disciples? Why disquieted? It was because their orientation was wrong. They were looking at the waves. They were looking, you can't see where. But as it were, they were looking at the winds and the light. And that's why you're so cast down. Because you're looking at your trouble. And you're looking at the threat of the devil. And you're looking at the things that carnal reason suggests to your mind. And you're looking at yourself. You see? And all this sort of thing. This is the trouble with you. You're looking at the gloomy things Satan has put in front of you. You're looking at your poor body. You're looking at yourself. Torn upon thyself too long. Lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus. This is the orientation. Why art thou cast down? In Jesus, pity, compassion, is joined with infinite power. Now there's the secret of it all. A few years ago, not do I need this now. Don't think that I'm going back a few years and I don't need it now. I need it very much now. But I will just name this to you so that you will see how this affected me. A few years ago, I came unexpectedly into a trial. It seemed a very simple thing at first, but it simply ramified and gathered and spread out, and in the end it just surrounded me and threatened me, and well, I really wondered whatever the issue of it all would be. I could see no way whatever. It was what is called an impasse, that is, you can't see any way. And I preached and lived and laboured under that for, I should think, some weeks together. And I looked at it all the time. I slept with it. I lived with it. I kept looking at it. I looked at the people, the problems, the difficulties, the complications. Didn't matter which way I looked, it was impossible. I kept looking at it. There's no way. Well, I was in, it was in a new year, actually. I was preaching at Heathfield, as I shall be shortly, the New Year services. And I had a text given me for Heathfield. I didn't feel much like preaching any special service, I can tell you. But I was preaching up there, and in the middle of my text, there was this word. You'll know the scripture when I name this to you. It was about temptation. The Lord would not suffer you to be tempted above that, your able, and so on. But this was the word, but God is faithful. You see? Now, as I went on in my preaching, that seemed as if over the front of the gallery, it seemed almost as if those words were written in letters of gold. But God is faithful. Now my orientation of spirit was changed. Instead of looking at the difficulties and the people and the problems and all this sort of thing, I looked to God and his faithfulness. Then, hope thou in God, and I did hope in God. I felt when I came out from Broad Oak Chapel, I felt God is faithful. I've got something to stand on, and God will appear. So, hope thou in God. But it's all very well for someone to come along and say that to you. They mean it well, no doubt. They might come along and say to you, brother, hope in God. But the thing is for God to give it to you with divine power. To see the golden letters appear. God is faithful. Well, now, instead of sleeping and living with those overwhelming difficulties and sorrows as they were to me, I slept and lived with a faithful God. God is faithful. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Amen. You will take a collection to your esteemed pastor.
Closing hymn is the hymn number 420. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favours are divine. 420.
And Holy Spirit, one living and true God, blessed Trinity, we praise and adore thee, and thank thee for the holy worship thou hast engaged our spirits in, and the gospel blessings diffused. We now commend to thee in Christian esteem and love the dear pastor and the church officers and thy servants and thy dear children in this flock, together with all our dear friends visiting us. And we pray for those who are older, those who are in middle life in all its strain and stress. For those who are younger in years, and for the little children, we pray for thy divine blessing. We pray for healing for those who are sick, and for those who are convalescent, that thou wilt restore them to normality and health and vigour. We pray that thou wilt bless the souls of thy people. We pray that thou wilt quicken those who are now dead. We pray that thou wilt go out into the streets and passages of Abingdon, and into the highways and hedges, that they may be compelled to come in, that thy house may be filled. We pray for all we love. We pray for those who travel, that thou wilt keep us all in peace. And we pray for those who work through the night for our comfort and good. We pray for those in hospital who are now on duty and who minister to the sick through the night watches. We pray for the sailors of this land and of all lands in their perils on the deep. We pray for all those who need special help and comfort and guidance at this hour. We pray that thou wilt send food and protection and blessing, and all this through Jesus Christ. Pardon us, be with us, be with the lonely widow or widower, be with the fatherless, be with all blind children and people, be with those who need thee in special cases of sorrow, be with those who are dying, be with those who are suffering from malignant diseases, whose time on earth is short, that thou wilt turn their hearts to thee, to seek thee. Bless the children of many prayers who have gone astray. Bring them back into thy fold. Bless us now, for Jesus' sake. And we pray that thou wilt raise up in this land, as thou didst in the days of the Reformation, godly men in the universities, and those who shall be leaders to this country, and those who shall be made a blessing not only in the British Commonwealth, but in the whole earth, that their mediation may be successful, that war may cease, and peace prevail. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.